Start a new series tonight, and the men will be a little bit familiar with this. Touched on this back when we were candidating and we had the men's Bible study and pizza night, and so I said then we might come back to this at some point, but a bit of an object lesson tonight. You know, what is that? It's an apple. What makes it an apple? Well, God, yeah, God. God does. Maybe Adam named it. I don't know. It doesn't say that it named the plants, he named the animals, but what is it made up of? Okay, we've got a skin, seeds, the core, the flesh.
Color,
yeah. The shape, got the remnants of the flower typically on the end. I don't think you ever miss those, they're always there. If we.
The taste.
The smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hope they're crispy and juicy, not mushy. And the way they're taken care of in Wenatchee, Washington, they certainly try their. Dead level best to make sure you get a nice juicy apple all year long. Climate controlled after they're harvested. I mean, it's hard to believe, but this apple was harvested last fall. And it should be as just as juicy as if it came off the tree. Because they do climate control the storage of it, and they know when they want to ship them to market based on a lot of the science behind what makes an apple a good apple. So if you ever get to Wenatchee, I would encourage you to stop by the Apple Commission. They have a nice little video to watch what it takes to get an apple from a tree to you. But if we separate those things and just have the one thing, would we consider it an apple? And if we just had the skin, we would know that that's an apple skin, but we wouldn't consider it an apple, would we? Now, we might the flesh, because that's what we eat. But when we think of the apple, we think of all of those things in order to think, to say, well, that's an apple. We know it by smell, we know it by taste, we know the color, the skin, the flesh, the seeds, and all of those things to make it consider it to be an apple. And I want us to look tonight. And we'll start a series. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 5, not 6. Galatians chapter 5. We'll read verses 16 through 26. It's a lengthy passage because we'll get the context, if you will. But we'll be focusing on verses 22 and 23 after tonight. But I do want us to get the context to understand the teaching that Paul is giving to us, and ultimately God is giving to us, as to the fruit of the Spirit. And I we'll touch on that when we get to that verse here in a moment to understand why we're looking at an apple and noting this. But let's read verses 16 through 26. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so let's open up with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the time that we have here in the middle of the week to take time to study thy word, to look into it, to see the truths, to grow thereby, to see the sanctifying work of your word and the Holy Spirit in our lives, drawing us into Christ's likeness. Thank you that we can come and bear one another's burdens, as we have been reminded of tonight, that we can take them to you, knowing that you care about the situations that we have within our church family, and knowing that you will be at work in the ways that you deem best and fit for all that is happening. We commit those things to you, and Father, we just thank you that we can come here in the middle of the week to take this time to set aside to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we start this series, a look at the fruit of the Spirit. And as noted, Paul's been instructing the Galatian churches about the true gospel and its nature and its natural true working within the believer, which is what we call sanctification. And Paul has been addressing that throughout this book because of some Judaizers that had come into the state of Galatia, the region of Galatia, and had been preaching a false gospel, if you will, that it was not only trusting Christ as your Savior, but also living according to the law. And we know from Acts chapter 15, particularly, that that is not the case, and that will be touched on in other passages. But Paul is addressing that to this group of churches, and just noting, you know, the walking in Christ as we should walk, and living accordingly and growing in Him. And in this passage here, we have really the heart of sanctification, which is the Holy Spirit's working within every believer. As he reminds us here in verse 16 of chapter 5, and then verse 25, kind of bookends somewhat, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit." And so he notes these things, and the construction is of a subjective nature, letting us know that we can walk in the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that we necessarily are always walking in the Spirit, because we know we have a sinful nature that has no inclination whatsoever to walk in the Spirit. And we have that battle, and we always will, regardless of whether we want it or not, it's there. But we do have the enabling to do so, otherwise he wouldn't be commanding us and telling us these things to walk in the Spirit. If he didn't empower us to do so, then it would be a thing of futility. But we can, because we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, helping us in this regard. And so we come to this, and I want to quote a couple commentators as we look at this passage and go forward here. But I bring us to that understanding that we have the fruit of the Spirit. I know sometimes in the past we may remember flannograph in children's church or in Sunday school class, and usually there's a cornucopia. And it's filled with different fruits, plural. So there may be bananas, and there may be grapes, and apples, and oranges, and all sorts of things that we use then for an illustration of this passage, and yet it says what? The fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. Which I would liken to our apple. We're looking at different aspects of this fruit. When we see these different pieces, if you will, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and not the other way, that it's fruits, which might give us the idea, well, okay, I really like apples, so I'm good. Yes, love. There we go. That's my fruit. I've got it. Joy. Yep, I can get that. Long-suffering. Oh, you know, I'm not big on bananas. I'm not so sure about this long-suffering stuff. Temperance? You mean self-control? Okay, you know, there's a pomegranate. I'm not so sure. Let's just set those aside and I'll work on those that I like. And it's not that way. The fruit of the Spirit is all of these. And so it's not a smorgasbord we can pick and choose. This is what's going to happen as we see us walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. This is what's going to come and take place, really Christ-likeness. But let me read some of these, again, a couple commentators as they touch on some of these things. It says, that which the Spirit produces, referring to this fruit of the Spirit, it is not without design, evidently, that the apostle uses the word Spirit here as denoting that these things do not flow from our own nature. The vices above enumerated are the proper works or result of the operations of the human heart. The virtues which he enumerates are produced by a foreign influence, the agency of the Holy Spirit. Hence, Paul does not trace them to our own hearts, even when renewed. He says that they are to be regarded as the proper result of the soul's operation on the Spirit. And how true. It's not something that we can produce. It's that which God produces in us. We can continue with another one. The connective but shows the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Works have their source in self, whereas fruit originates from the Spirit. Works manifest what a person does, whereas fruit declares what a man is. Works manifest what a person does, whereas fruit declares what a man is. Works show conduct, but fruit reveals character. In works, the emphasis is on doing, but in fruit, the stress is on being. The word fruit is singular, not plural. The Spirit produces one fruit, not nine fruits. The fruit, however, has nine facets or qualities. If a believer is walking in the Spirit, he will possess all nine qualities. The source of the fruit is the Spirit, who produces it in and through the believer. Christ said to his disciples, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. The source of fruit-bearing, therefore, is not in the Christian. He is simply the channel through which Christ, by the Spirit, can produce himself. The fruit thus is the character of Christ. The Spirit wants the believer to become what Christ is. This was Paul's burden for the Galatians, looking back to chapter 4, verse 9. To a great degree, it is true of the apostle, for me to live is Christ. And so as we look at these things, and I like what these two commentators, Albert Barnes from the 1800s and Robert Gromacki, a more common commentator, notes as we look at these things and realize that as we will take time to look at each of these aspects on a Wednesday night and to see just when we look at these things collectively, I mean, do we see Christ? Can we call these characteristics of Christ, aspects of Christ? Sure. Is God love? Well, yes, John tells us God is love. Is God joy? Yeah. Is God peace? Yeah. Long-suffering? Oh, yes. God is long-suffering. I know that from personal experience. I'm still here. He's long-suffering. Gentleness. Yes, he is. He can be harsh when necessary, but he is gentle. Goodness, yes. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yes, he is all of these things. And again, because it is walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, one, Paul reminds us that as we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, we did a series a little bit on walking and touching on some of these things. You know, if we're walking to the east, can we head west at the same time? No, but we may find road signs that say we are, but that doesn't mean that we are because of how the roads have come together. I don't know if it's much around here, but I know you can on the other side of the Mississippi River find some places where you can be on this state road, this county road, this U.S. road, whatever it is, and you can just about have all four compass directions, but you're on one road going in one direction. I'm sure there's a mime out there somewhere on Facebook that shows them. I know I've seen them. That was back in the day when you would have had to have stopped, got out your film camera, taken a picture, gotten back in the car, and continued driving. So I don't have one, but I have seen them. Where it's like, how can I be going north, but I'm on west so-and-so, south so-and-so, and east so-and-so? That doesn't make much sense to me. Now, eventually, obviously, those roads will veer off. But, you know, we can't, you know, from a physical standpoint, we're only going one direction. We can't go the other. And God is noting that for us, you know, in this passage. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because we're not making provisions for it. We're feeding the new man, as it were. We've put on the new man, as Paul tells elsewhere. We've put off that old man. And the reverse holds true. If we're doing the works of the flesh, if we're allowing the flesh to be at work, are we walking in the Spirit? No. We can't. We're walking in the power of our flesh, the influence of those things that are not drawing us closer to Christ. And so it gives us a visual for us, I think, to contemplate and think about. As we consider things in our life, you know, am I walking in the Spirit? How's my attitudes? How's my inward thought life? What is going on? Is this walking in the Spirit, or am I working through the works of the flesh and letting it consume and drive me? And so Paul lays this out, and I appreciate that we can recognize, you know, verses 19 through 21 and realize that, one, we were those things, particularly before we knew Christ, and we can see them at times come up in our lives because they're sin. And then he puts that nice three-letter word at the beginning of verse 22, but. That's that old life. And it can seem so overpowering, but the fruit of the Spirit. There is an alternative, because as a believer, because he reminds us, those that do such things, that live committing those things, that's their life, they're not saved, in essence, is what Paul is getting at, number one. But there is an alternative. And we know that as believers. We trusted Christ as our Savior. God has empowered us to leave that old life and start in on a new life, a new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing Him formed in us. And so Paul, as he notes this, kind of gives them then these aspects. Again, for, I think, a good visual aid, if you will, to the walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. What does that look like? Well, it looks like Christ. What does that look like? Well, you know, it's like Christ. Read the Gospels. Yes. But I think he's getting it, drawing it home. What does that look like? What is that? What is it comprised of? Now, we can look at the Gospels and we can see where God, Jesus Christ, is love. He has compassion on the multitudes. And we can find each of these aspects, if you will, there. But it may take us a while to think about that, would it not? You know, read about the life of Christ and then describe aspects of it. You know, we could take a whole lifetime working on that. God has made it easy for us. He's put it in print here. Yes, this is the working of Christ in our lives. This is seeing Christ formed in us. And these are the aspects that we can look at. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, or peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now we have something a little more concrete, instead of just saying, well, it's the life of Christ that's going to be formed in us. That's kind of broad, and I wouldn't want to use the word, but, you know, kind of nebulous. We can't put that into terms, the life of Christ. But we can with this. The fruit of the Spirit is. And now we have aspects that we can look at and objectively then look at our lives and see. If I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm living in the Spirit, then these nine things are going to be evident in our lives. There will be love demonstrated. There will be joy. There will be peace. There will be long-suffering. And I think any of us, if we stop and think and examine our lives, I trust we would all say yes. This was rather rough at the beginning of my new life in Christ. I was still an apple in the making. To go back to our object. I was just a little thing back there right after it. The flower pollinated and it started growing. You know, I was there, but I was really little. And I trust that as we've come through the years of our Christian walk, we can be like that apple and say, yes, it's been growing, it's been developing. And yes, you can tell, well, that's an apple now. And I look at if, and I still say that if, because nothing formed real big on the crab apple tree that I think we have in the backyard. But what little fruit was there, which was pretty small, I don't think any of them got bigger than my thumbnail. I'm not convinced that it's a crab apple tree. Because I don't see the characteristic of an apple in that small fruit that it produced. So I don't know if it's a crabapple tree or not, just based on the fruit that it bore. And so we can see, I trust, that as we examine ourselves, we look at our lives and say, yes, and others will too. Yeah, they have been maturing. That Christ-likeness is forming. Yes, I see that they have love. They're, you know, some that may know us better than others. Yeah, they are much more long-suffering now than they used to be. Temperance? Oh, yeah, that's gotten a whole lot better since they first trusted Christ. And that's the whole point of our Christian life, is to see these things formed and grow and mature. So that, again, Christ is seen in us. Because ultimately, that's what the world needs. Yes, the gospel message. But what a powerful, put it in other terms, what a powerful 1-2 punch, if you will. To give them the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But then that they see a life that's been changed by that very message that you're giving to them. You're living what you're telling me. I see that Christ-likeness, that difference that Christ makes in a life. And what an opportunity that we have by bringing those two things together as we talk to our fellow believers, to see that, you know, everybody's at different places in their maturity. And different things may develop more quickly or quicker than others. And we have the opportunities to be of an encouragement and help to see these things formed in us. And others can see that, well, hey, if so-and-so can see these things happen, then surely I must. If God can work that in their lives to see them grow and mature, then I know God can do that in my life. And then to see that happen. And so we'll look at these again individually on each successive Wednesday as we work through these, and to look at these aspects and see the biblical truths that are there about it. You know, what is love? I mean, we're coming up on St. Valentine's Day, and hearts are in the air, and all these things out, and love is in the air. But what is love? It's not, unfortunately, the mushy stuff, ultimately, that we see displayed for us. It's a far deeper concept, and that, you know, goes back again. We have the verse, God is love. What all does that mean? So we'll delve into it starting next Wednesday and look at these aspects. And yes, I know as we examine ourselves, oh boy, I'm not there. But I trust that we see some of it there. The seeds of the apple may be small, but they're there. The flesh may be there, but it may be a small one, but it's there. And understand that it is God that does the work. He's the one that's going to form these things in us. Not by our efforts. We can't make ourselves more spiritual. We can put ourselves in the place to become more spiritual. Again, he'll use the idea as we read from one of the commentators. He's the vine, we're the branches. The vine supplies the nutrients that are going to cause the grapes to grow. The branch doesn't do anything except hold the grapes and is the conduit, the passageway for the nutrients to get to those grapes to have them grow. That's who we are. God does the work. And to me, that takes a load off of our minds. It's not me, but Christ. It's not me, but God that does the work. But I need to make sure I'm in the right place for him to do the work. Again, going back to that branch, if we take the branch off the vine, can the branch produce the fruit? It stops. So we've got to keep ourselves connected, if you will, attached and allowing that which God desires to do. And part of that is, yes, in his word, hearing it, reading it, and being connected with our Savior in as close a way as we can so that these things can be developed in our lives. So again, we'll look at that first one next week with love, and we'll work our way through these nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit.